About, which is like just snippets of our conversation.
I mean, it could work. I think our conversation is generally pretty fun. So our question for this week, so we've talked about PJ status, which if anyone should update on that, is apparently it costs $300,000 for a private PJ from LA to Tokyo. This is information straight from Chrissy Teigen.
I didn't know she was exaggerating, but it sounds like it's real.
Well, my question to follow up on that was, is that like for one person or your whole family?
It's probably for the whole plane.
Oh, you just chartered the plane because they're not peasants and it's not personal. So building off of that, I had a question, which is who we think is private security status, or PS status for short, which doesn't sound as good as PJ. Because this was prompted by, of course, the challenge, mm-hmm. where Romeo is a contestant, mm-hmm. or formerly known as Lil Romeo, son of Master P. Mm-hmm. And he had his own private security on the show. And I was very surprised by that because I was like, who even cares? I feel like at that point it's just posturing, but
good point.
Like who do you think has private security just like on the reg? Like Tom Cruise, obviously, right? That's gonna be, you need it.
I feel like, okay, well, I was gonna say it's more of a money threshold, in which case Romeo doesn't fall onto that threshold, so that's probably more for aesthetics.
Yeah, I would agree. But what about for actual like necessity, like where you're at that level where it's something that you need? So the Kardashians, especially, obviously. With you know, the robbery. Yeah, but who else? Like Jennifer Lawrence. Do you think on the reg, like on a weekend, she has private security?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, so she's like round the clock PS.
Anyone that can't go out in public without being completely paparazzied. Because it's mainly for that, right?
I don't know.
Like, questions, do you think Anna Kendrick has PS?
No.
No?
I think when she has press, she gets
okay,
like a security guard.
Oh.
But I don't think she's PS status.
Oh, okay.
But then my question is like, what about someone like, I don't know, who's like, has a lot of money, but maybe doesn't have that many fans, like a Kaylee Cuoco. She's making bank on Big Bang Theory, mm-hmm. but does she need a random PS? These are the thought-provoking questions I think about as I lay awake at night.
That's a good question.
Right?
Okay,
she can afford it.
Okay, what about the other Big Bang members? Like, does Jim Parsons have security?
No, I can't imagine he does.
And then it's probably safe to assume girls typically have a lot more often than guys.
Because I would imagine, like, when you see a lot of paparazzi pictures of, like, Leonardo DiCaprio out and about in New York, and he doesn't seem to have like a security guard with him in those pics, and he can afford it. So like,
oh, I think he definitely has it. They're just strategically not photographed.
No, but they're like paparazzi pictures. It's not like they know that they're getting pictured or, you know, like a picture taken. So then they like hang out a frame.
I'm really interested.
Then you're not doing your job as a
sounds like they're on retainer, and you use them when you need them, only on the weekends or only when you're going to a specific event or something.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe if you're just going to events where there's going to be crowds and photographers. Or if you're... So do the Kardashians have, like, their bodyguard just following them around even for, like, a coffee run?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, because I don't think they even drive themselves.
But then it's only the Kardashians. It's like, who else does that?
I think, like...
Okay, like J-Lo. I think musicians. 100%. The musicians, okay, it's, like, hitting it. So, like, J-Lo... And Britney.
But why musicians does. More?
I that's just what's coming to mind. I it's easier for me to stratify that than it is.
Okay, actors. So I think it's a money thing, but I do agree with you. It's a fan thing, and musicians tend to have more of like the stalkers and stuff. So today's episode is going to be a little bit different. What I wanted to do was round up the year of 2017. This is going to be the last pod that we do before the end, and I just wanted to recap. So what we've done is I've had Emily and I both pick our top five moments. Now, I want to clarify, this is not the biggest moments of the year necessarily for the world. I think all the...
It's all pop culture.
And pop culture within that, like Trump stuff, we all understand that was big, that was whatever. I don't think either of us are hitting on any of that.
No.
Okay. So these are our personal top, like personal top five moments for us. And you'll hear more about that as we
also explain. Sort of curated off the same list just so that we had something. So there could have just been stuff that wasn't on this list. It was from The Guardian and other sources.
Yep. So I think we'll take turns going off our top moments, and we're probably going to overlap some. But Emily, why don't you start with one of your top five moments?
Okay, I'm going to share the one that was the most memorable because of the way that I found it out and my response to it, and then it was really embarrassing for me.
Okay.
And I also just think it was a massive moment, like probably one of the most genuinely surprising things for me of this year.
Okay.
And do you know what I'm talking about? Do you have a hunch?
The pregnancy?
Yeah, it was Kylie's pregnancy.
Okay.
Hands down, I was genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
First of all, I found out when I was in my workout class.
Yes.
Which is like this small group-based workout class we do. There were probably like six other people in the class. And the instructor, I guess he gets BuzzFeed news alerts to his phone. So we're all like, I think I was doing a kettlebell swing. And he announces, he gets a buzz to his phone. He's like, wow, Kylie Jenner is pregnant. He just announces this. And I'm doing my workout. I'm genuinely shocked to my core. And my immediate response is I say really loudly in the middle of this workout class, shut up. Really loud. And then nobody else in the class responds. Nobody cares. Like, and I'm just embarrassed. And like internally still reeling from this news. And then I think a couple minutes later, someone's like, why do you know that? And then he's like, oh, I get BuzzFeed news alerts to my phone. And then I'm just like doing my kettlebell and feeling like just so shocked.
Like you're looking around. But nobody, like,
I literally looked around. I was like, is no one else like flabbergasted?
Was Stacey not there with you?
No, she wasn't. No. Yeah. So anyways, that was top for me, I think, because it was just...
I do need to fact check, because I did see today, it was Christmas party last year, she was still with Tyga.
Probably, yeah. I think her and Tyga didn't officially break until this year. Yeah. So it's super new. That's why it was so surprising. Yes. I mean, thank God it wasn't Tyga as a baby daddy.
I know.
But...
Have you heard that her goal is to, like, remain pregnant? Like, you won't really see her until, like, the baby pops out?
No, him. Oh, to, like, for the duration. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've read that she's just in hiding at this point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did see this morning one paparazzi pic of, like, her standing, like, she looks pregnant, which I could imagine she was probably pissed about, because I think she's been trying to just, like,
have no. There was a picture of her?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I have to look that up. I didn't see.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was mine.
Great. That's a wonderful one. That's exactly what I wanted to get to. Just, like, moments that you're going to, like, vividly, like, remember.
That's why I shared that. The rest of mine aren't that exciting.
Okay. One of those for me was the Oscars mix-up, I think, was a really big moment that was talked about. But I specifically remember because we were together.
Yes,
it
we
was
were.
Our annual Oscars viewing party. And we had, like, a bunch of people at our house. And we were doing the Oscars ballot, which is why it mattered so much. Right. And, you know, we had all chosen who we think would win. And I want to say, like, I think I remember, like, they announced...
They announced La La Land.
Okay, they announced La La Land, and I remember just, like, I'd be like, ugh, and just, like, getting up and, like, going to get
water.
Yeah,
I think we were all, like, because it was the last award of the night, we were all kind of over
it. So I just, like, checked out, and then all of a sudden, like, people who were still in front of the TV were like, wait, what? And then so I remember, like, going back to the TV and be, like, so perplexed, and... Yeah, it was just so crazy. Like, I just couldn't understand how that would have happened, but also just so happy for Moonlight and the cast there, and just so much of what into, like, Wrong Winner, and just having, like, a full all-white cast with a whole all-black cast up there. Yeah. It's just, like...
And all the celebrity reactions.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Crazy. So, it was definitely going to be, like, a moment that goes down in history, like, forever, and just kind of cool to, like, remember where I was, like, when it happened.
It was also just a good, like... harbinger of what was 2017 about to become.
So much.
Like, just confusion and a mess.
So much.
Yeah. That was going to make my list, but I thought it might be on yours, so I just took it off.
Okay.
Second thing, this is actually one that I can sort of pinpoint as well, and in our list, you kind of grouped it, so it was the comebacks, and it was Taylor, Lord, and Kesha. Okay. So, I'm not going to talk too much about Lord and Kesha, because I loved Lord's album. I listened to the whole thing. I thought it was fantastic. Kesha, like, so happy for her. Obvi, my thoughts are with Taylor. Obvi.
This is my
so
too.
We've spoken at length about this, but I will just say I was really excited for Reputation, right? She had, like, hyped it up, so I'll just pinpoint it to the moment where I remember watching her video, Look What You Made Me Do, because that was, like, the very first drop, right? And I was, like, anticipating this for a while, like, Taylor's finally back. And so I remember being on a subway platform, so I was in New York at this point, and I was like, oh my god, the video's out, the song is out, and I immediately just started watching it.
So the video came with the song, or the song came out first?
I think the video came... No, you're right. The song came out, but I was listening to it on YouTube.
Okay.
And I remember sitting on the subway and, like, holding it up to my ear because, like, obviously the audio wasn't good. I didn't have headphones. And then just being so immediately disappointed. I was like, what is this? This is so bad. I don't even think I finished listening to it. I was getting, like, terrible reception, so I was cutting in and out because the subway was moving. But I was just so disappointed. And that is a moment I'll remember. I still don't like that song. But it was the return of Taylor, for better or for worse. And then that set me up for the rest of my year. Her album didn't drop until, what, like, onto Spotify until, like, late November, maybe? And it still made my top listened list of Spotify of 2017. So that's, you know, kind of an indication of how much I ended up listening to it. So even though I hated that first single, it was significant for me.
I love that started your year. That was a moment for me also. Yeah. I had it also. I think just the hype that went into it, just because she was so in hiding before, and this is finally her coming out. And I remember, I think, that same moment. And interesting, I'm noticing that a lot of these moments are tied to the group text that we're on, because first reaction started coming out, and I think I was on a plane, and I was, it did come out on Spotify, I think, right away. So I was listening to it on Spotify and also having very similar thoughts of being severely disappointed. We were just bashing on it.
Yeah.
So hard.
And well, us and the rest of the world too. I don't even think we had a chance to be influenced by other people's opinions. Like, we just listened to it.
I mean, I was kind of cautious of the fact that, like, my whole, like, unconscious bias thing of, like, you know, I wanted to hate it, but it
no,
did
I
seem
wanted
like across
to like
the board.
It.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I wanted
oh,
to
good.
Like
okay.
it.
Okay. You're a better person than I am.
Such a disappointment. So there were a lot of breakups, as there are every year. On our list, we did have get-togethers, but I don't think any of them were, like, that impactful to me. So I'll just list my saddest breakups of 2017.
Oh, okay. This is going to cover one of mine, too.
Okay. So I'm going to list top three.
Okay.
Saddest one was Chris Pratt and Anna Faris.
Yes.
That was really sad.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. I think everyone loved them. It was just a very, very sad thing. But close second, very close second, was Hayden Christensen and Rachel Bilson.
Yes.
I just love that they were like a low-key celeb couple. They had a beautifully named daughter, Briar Rose. I love that name. I think it's adorable. So I was pretty disappointed by that. And then lastly, I was pretty sad about Fergie and Josh. I like that they kind of, you know, were a little unconventional, sort of like an unexpected pairing. I wanted them to make it. They had a kid, Axl Rose. My secret talent is knowing all celebrities' kids' names, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sad to me. And then if I can do a fourth place, it was Ben Stiller. And Christine.
Yes. There's a lot of big divorces.
Yeah, they were like a long-standing, like, Hollywood staple. I would imagine of, like, that generation of Hollywood, it was like, they were one of the couples.
And just all the movies they did together.
So many. Like, they seemed like such strong partners. So that was disappointing.
Yeah, Chris Pratt made my list because I love Chris Pratt, as you know, from a very young age.
Yes.
I once wrote him fan mail when I was a teenager. And
he wrote back.
I love him. I like, and his personality shines through so well in interviews and stuff. So he seems like such a great person, but who knows?
Man of God.
Yeah. Oh yes. And who knows what goes on behind the scenes, but I did also listen to Anna Faris's podcast as well. Anna is unqualified. Anna Faris is unqualified. And just hearing about her talk about their relationship there too, like she was giving like relationship advice, and she did qualify as like being like, you know, I'm unqualified, but the way that she talked about the relationship just seemed like they were in such a good place. It did kind of seem like their kid Jack was a struggle, probably as a tension point for them, just because he has an eye condition or something like that, some special needs condition, and I think that's probably caused a lot of stress and just something that they didn't really anticipate.
Well, I think it was more my take on this. I agree. I think that was like a factor, but I think it was more just that Chris was never home. He's had such a busy 3 years. Like, he legitimately has been off in some other country for like 90% of the past 3 years. And that, I think that's my take, is that it's a strain on Anna.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
He's not home. He's doing Jurassic. He's doing Passengers. He's in like all of these big blockbuster movies. He's just not there.
R.I.P.
Do you have others on your list, or was that just the main one? Because
I have two more.
Okay.
Okay. One of mine is Get Out. Did you watch that in theaters?
Oh, I was asking about Breakup.
Oh, no, sorry.
No, okay. That was on your list. I did watch it in theaters, but I ruined it for myself thoroughly.
Watching
before
it,
going in, and then I also was on my phone during the movie.
Why?
I literally put my jacket over my head so that I wouldn't disturb other people, but
why?
I can't watch scary movies.
It wasn't that scary.
It's suspense. I can't do suspense. Oh. It's not even like, gore is not even like impactful. It's like literally the suspense actually kills me. And so I had read an article on Vulture of like a breakdown of all the scary pop-out moments.
Okay.
So I thought I was prepared.
Yeah.
But then I was actually watching the movie and I was like, I'm not ready for this. I need to know what's about to happen in the next like 5 seconds. So then I went onto the Wikipedia page during the movie with a jacket over my head to hide the glow of my phone. And I was like, okay, someone's going to pop out. Like, and then that's how I watched the movie.
Wait, I am so glad we talked about this, because I did not know about that experience for you.
Yeah.
How, every moment was in Wikipedia? I don't understand.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty detailed plot summary. I mean, during, like, the key moments, right? So, like, towards the end of the film, spoiler alert, when, you know, like, stuff's about to go down, and he's, like, in the dungeon or whatever, and then he, like, escapes. Escape scenes, oh my god, so stressful for me. Like, breaking and entering scenes, so stressful. Like, I can't even put in words how stressful it is. I'll, like, fast forward to see if, like, someone will, like, pop in when someone's, like, breaking in.
And then go back?
And then go back, yeah.
No way!
I can't.
Oh,
so that's,
my God.
Yeah, so that scene, I specifically remember when he's, like, escaping. I was, like, I didn't know. I couldn't remember if someone, like, pops out or, you know, so I had to look that up
oh my God,
during the
so
movie.
Funny.
Yeah.
I did watch it in theaters. I watched it at Alamo Drafthouse, which was my first time there. Mm. So I kind of enjoyed that experience. I had this huge bowl of popcorn.
Of course, the popcorn is a part of that experience. And a huge
spiked milkshake. Yeah. And it was just such a great movie. It was so entertaining. And I just love all the, like, yeah, how Jordan Peele just broke all these boundaries and stuff. And just, and making something that's, like, a thriller and a comedy and all these genres at once. And
although, I don't know. Like, I was just watching before you came here, like, a YouTube video about Get Out, Alvin Williams on Seth Meyers. And
oh, me too.
People keep saying that it's comedy. I think it was funny. I do not classify it as a comedy at all in my head.
But I feel like Jordan would. No?
Yeah, a lot of people did. So that's why I also was, like, lulled into this false sense of security. And I was, like, scared out of my brain. Like, it was good. I liked it. But it was hilarious. Not a comedy to me. No. I'm sorry. No. I was terrified.
That's so funny. So I am curious. Yeah, it's already kind of becoming controversy of, like, where it's getting categorized, at least for the Golden Globes. But it's not really going to be relevant, I think, for the Oscars. But I just loved it. It was so great. And Alison Williams did a really great job in it. And yeah, and I just love, like, all the commentary and the conversation that it sparked. Mm-hmm. So I hope that, you know, there's more that come.
Okay. Another thing on mine was kind of along those lines of something that I really enjoyed and I think was very much a part of the, like, pop culture lexicon this year was Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, okay.
Which was a departure for me because I don't normally watch intense things.
Yeah.
We've just discussed why I cannot pop out in it. Yeah, well, it's very intense. And if you, like, look at the shows I watch, they're all comedies.
Sitcoms, yeah.
Yeah, sitcoms, comedies, that's, like, all I watch because I can't do intense. But Handmaid's Tale I was fascinated by. It was, like, such a good cast. And I'm really proud of myself for watching it. I also watched it live, so I couldn't read recaps beforehand. So I just had to, like, sit through it. Mm-hmm. I will say it's not as, like, poppy-outy. So
okay.
Yeah. Actually, there are some moments of, like, there's tension, but no, it's just really good. Yeah. I think it's, like, you know, like everyone's been saying, it's something that feels, like, oddly very relevant in this time that we live in. The performances are amazing. Elizabeth Moss, incredible. Alexis Bledel, killing it. Like, did not think she was a good actress in Gilmore Girls. Did not think she was capable of doing something like this, but she was really good.
Really?
She was really good.
Really?
It's such a different role from anything she's ever done. Like, she gets a really, like, meaty, like, very pivotal, like, sort of character who
good
has, like,
her.
A big plot line that's very disturbing, and she plays it really well.
Good for her.
There was an article in Vulture that was basically all about how, like, this was the role she was born to play. Like, she kind of has this, like, quiet, fragile, sort of, like, delicate nature, you know, just based on the way she looks. She has these, like, crazy intense, like, blue eyes, and I just feel like all of that plays into her character really well. So yeah,
like in a way that it's a similar character to who she probably is in real life, or
I think just that physically you look at her and it really adds to the character that she plays in the movie.
Got it.
And it's like a very kind of like subversive, revolutionary character in a lot of different ways in the context of the show. So I'm just like really proud of her for getting such a good part in this really good ensemble drama. So yeah, that was probably one of my highlights.
How was I'm forgetting her real name, but Peggy.
Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah.
Really good.
Really?
Yeah. Really, really good. Samira Wiley's also in it. She has a pretty big part from Orange is the New Black. And then this other person, I think her name is Anne Patchett. I think she won an Emmy for it. She has, like, a supporting character role, and she was in that, and this other TV show that was also getting really good reviews. So it's a, like, all-around stellar cast. Highly recommend.
My last one. Do you have one more?
Yeah.
Okay. My last one is The Solo Careers of One Direction. Mine. Guys.
Oh, beautiful. Yep, that's it.
Oh my god, I cannot wait to get into this. But, yeah. I mean, who to start with? Well, I guess Niall came out first.
I don't, ooh.
Well, okay, well, I don't know. They all release singles together.
Are we including Zayn in this?
I didn't think that much about him right now.
Wait, we didn't even mention what was probably on both of our lists. It was not a pop culture moment, but it was a personal pop culture moment.
Oh, I know.
When we both saw Zayn in the flesh, July of 2017, that was pretty major. Yeah.
We were on a bachelorette trip in LA. We were at Lock and Key.
Sure
were. We just blew up his spot. And he was at a table with super normal looking people.
Yeah. Just living life. And we saw him. We laid eyes on him. And it was a highlight of the year. I think that needs to be said.
It was for sure a highlight of my year.
Oh, 100%.
Okay. So, yeah, let's talk about the debuts, I guess, of the solo careers.
Okay.
So, okay, we'll talk about Harry first.
Just very proud of him.
Very proud of him.
He carved his own path. Yes. He was the most different out of all of the 1D. He did the most, like, unique thing, which I don't think anyone would expect any less of him. Plus, he had Dunkirk, which was, like, a critically acclaimed movie, small bit part, but, like, great director. I think he's just making all the right moves.
Do you think that they had Harry had better access to the better producers, though? Or do you think they all equally had an equal chance
of that? Oh, you mean in terms of music?
Yeah.
I mean, I think in terms of, like, collaborators, right? Like, Liam got, like, Quavo, which is very, like, of the moment. I don't know about quality, but, like...
Sure.
I think it's all subjective, too, because they all went in such different routes.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Because I do want to say, oh, I think Harry's, like, album, I think overall critically is probably the best, but, like, maybe just people are just falling over themselves to work with him, like, the best people, but...
Yeah.
I do agree, like, that he carved out a path. Both him and Niall went for a more intimate kind of vibe.
And then Liam and Louis were just like, F it, we're going to go for the club bangers and talk about, like... clothes on my bedroom floor and stripping it down.
So Louis just gone for the I'm just gonna feature on EDM songs for life,
which was, let's be real, a wise choice for him. Given he is the weakest vocalist.
Yes
Also made a ton of sense for Niall to do the acoustic route because he's the only one who plays an instrument,
right? And fits his vibe, Irish vibe overall.
So I was most surprised by Liam, actually.
Really?
Because Liam, widely known to be like a strong vocalist in the band,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I didn't expect him to go this, like, super generic pop star route. Like, I kind of thought he would have been a blend of a Harry and a Niall, like, what they ended up doing. And he just went, to me, so generic. Like, just indistinguishable from anything else on the radio. Like, just making these, like, songs about, like, women and being hot and, like, getting a rap artist to feature.
And then having, like, the hot body to go with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I was not impressed. I never was a big fan of Liam, but I thought he would have done something a little more.
Yeah.
Something.
I mean, he's getting encouragement because he's doing well. Like, I think the songs are selling well. He's
doing well. His baby, his pregnancy, Cheryl's pregnancy, was a moment for me, too. I was shocked by that.
Yeah.
Like, just very surprised by that. Also because Cheryl is, like, a very big star in the UK. And the fact that he, like, locked that down is surprising.
So that's what I was thinking in terms of the influence, because was she kind of generic pop also?
Oh, for sure. Okay. Yeah. Girls Aloud, like, Spice Girls, like, round two, sort of.
So, I guess I'm not too surprised. I'm not that into it, but that's just kind of what it is. And I think he's doing pretty well for himself, so he's probably going to continue down that route. Do you think Niall and Harry will continue down their specific paths?
I think so. So, I think Niall's first single was a bit of a snooze for me, Our Town.
Our Town, yeah.
But I think he really redeemed himself with Slow Hands.
Slow Hands was so good.
Slow Hands was a jam. So, I think he bounced back, and I'm proud of him.
And I remember when I first heard Harry's song, Sign of the Times, I was like, meh, whatever. But when I listened to it later, when I listened to the album again, kind of as a whole, I did kind of, like, see his whole comprehensive view of it, and I did actually really enjoy it overall.
It was just a good year for them. I'm so proud of our boys. They've come so far.
So proud of them. Okay, so now I have a couple questions regarding some 2018 predictions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Justin Timberlake's halftime show at the Super Bowl. Will NSYNC reunite?
I hope so. That's my answer. Okay. I want them to desperately.
Do you think it's likely?
I would say 60 no, 40 yes.
Okay. Who's going to win big at the Oscars?
Wait, are you not answering these questions?
Oh, I agree with you. I really want it to happen, but I feel like everyone's just going to be a party pooper and not make it happen.
Well, Justin would be the party pooper, though. So if Justin allows it, it will happen.
He's the obstacle here. Okay, okay. Well, see, he really needs to make a comeback after that Janet Jackson thing, so I think he should.
You mean like a Super Bowl comeback?
Yeah, career comeback.
He's been doing fine, Ash.
No. He really needs to make up for, like, he should be thankful that he got asked back.
Okay, got it. All right, yeah. I mean, I would love for it to happen.
Okay, who's going to win big at the Oscars?
I don't feel qualified to speak on this yet. I feel like I need to watch all the movies. There's so many contenders. Because this right now is when all the contenders come out. It's like end of December.
Yeah.
It's like the final push. I don't know.
Shout out to Greatest Showman that we watched this week. They did get Golden Globe noms. Do you know what they were?
They got Golden Globe noms. I think like Best Picture, maybe Best Actor.
Best Picture?
Well, like probably in the musical comedy category. Okay. But we all know Golden Globes is a crock of bull. Like, they're not legit. I think Call Me By Your Name is going to do well, though.
Do really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I predict that.
Okay. My last question. Who is going to attend the royal wedding?
Oh my gosh. The Obamas.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the only one that I feel like.
Just because, because they have a friendship or because he's a previous president?
I think because they have, like, a positive relationship.
Okay. Harry did just interview him for his...
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. I'm wondering if any Suits people are going to come up. Because let's be real, she hasn't been in a ton of other projects. Suits is her main thing. She's been on the show for, like, 7 years.
If they weren't invited, I bet they'd feel hella salty.
Isn't that kind of... Yeah, I feel
But, like, I mean, how much control do you think she has?
Okay, they're not going to not let her invite any... Like, she's got to have her own guest list.
Okay, they will.
I think so.
Okay, but it's probably maybe only like 30 people. No, I don't know. How big is a royal wedding?
Didn't they say they were going to try and keep it pretty intimate, like the venue that she chose?
In that case, I don't think any Suits cast will be there.
I want at least Patrick Adams there. I want the core of the cast to be there. That's my hope for them.
You work on a show for 6 years. Like, how are you not, like, on friendly terms?
I guess, but you know how coworkers are kind of like a category that you could disregard in your wedding? So apparently Serena Williams will be there, right? Because they're BFFs.
What?
Didn't you hear this? That,
what?
Like,
no.
Yes, Meghan Markle and Serena Williams Rando. Are, like, really close friends.
Well, love that.
Because she was at Serena's wedding.
No, I just Googled it. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, no show. It's Serena Williams' wedding.
Oh.
Well, of course, Prince Harry wasn't there, but.
Okay. Well, they are friends, so I think I can see them there.
Okay.
Anyone else?
No, I don't know a lot about Meghan Markle's life, so I just don't know.
She does have all these, like, low-key famous friends, though.
I'm sure good for her. Yeah. Through the, like, celebrity, socialite, charity circuit.
Yes, yes. Well, thanks for joining. It's been a great kickoff to our podcast.
So exciting.
Our new sign-off.
What's our new sign-off?
Do you remember?
No, I don't.
We're gonna go to bed now.
Oh, we're gonna go to bed now.
Good night.
Good night.